was super cold this morning when I walked to work. The music is playing. We've had Jarrett Payton and Paul Charchian on. Mark Grody keeps saying Bears. This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on the score. So you know what time it is now? It's football time.
He just keeps saying it. I don't know what's going on. He just won't stop saying Bears.
The best was your Kyle Long interview last week. I think you said Bears 15 times.
He was triggering me. He knew what he was doing.
Instead of saying yes, you were saying Bears.
Bears, Bears. And I gave him 10 Bears. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I gave him 10 Bears at the end, and he said something like, well, thank you for your approval, Grody.
At least he had fun with it.
He did. He did have fun.
Kyle Long is a Bears. He will play along with that type
He's
of stuff.
He's a Bear. What do you think?
He is a Bear.
He's a Bear.
That's why he got 10.
Yeah, Bears. 10 Bears.
And his entire career was with?
Bears.
There it
He's
is.
He's a Bear for life. He said that. He said that. And I got
BFL,
goosebumps.
Bear for life.
BFL.
Or B4L.
Yeah.
Just do the number four.
Yeah, bruh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're too hype. We're too hype for this prediction segment already.
I'm overstimulated. I'm the lead. Goodbye.
So this is the brainchild of one Robert Triano.
Bob Tree.
The Bob has come into the building and suggested we do this segment.
Hey, all, it's me, Bob. All right, so it is week one. Games officially start today, so we need to have our predictions in a little time capsule. You guys will put your word on the line, your predictions on the line, and we will pull this up later in the year to see how right you are or how wrong you are. I have 7 questions for you guys, couple Bears, couple total NFL. Question number one, will Caleb Williams throw for 4,000-plus yards? Layla Rahimi.
Yes. I don't know why I'm saying it. I just really want it to happen. I feel like he got pretty close with a terrible situation last year. Over 3,500. So yes. Yes, he will throw for over 4,000 yards. Especially since I don't know who's the running back.
I mean, come on.
Outside of DeAndre Swift. You know what we mean.
No. I know what you meant. But when I said come on, I mean, of course he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. Unless he gets hurt.
Why'd you do that? Why did you have to?
Well, that's why he wouldn't throw for 4,000 yards. I'm putting the caveat in there. If he's healthy, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say that by the second half of this season, it's definitely going to be a thing. And I'm like excited about the Caleb Williams era under Ben Johnson, because that's going to be a very different thing than what the Caleb era was under Matt Eberflus. Okay, so just, it's a thing. It's 235.29 yards per game to get to 4,000. He's going to get it.
Do me a favor, guys, if you can, and look up how many quarterbacks threw for 4,000 yards last year, and I think that will help to add to my answer, which is no, I don't think he will throw for 4,000 yards.
However, stand by.
I have a very specific number, 3,856 yards. I'll even go as far as to tell you, you know what? I won't tell you the touch. You'll have to listen to the podcast to get my touchdown numbers and my interception numbers and even quarterback rating for Caleb Williams, but I think he falls just short of 4,000 yards this year, and I think it's because of what I've been feeling and seeing in the way that they have been playing in the preseason and some of the training camp, that it's going to be a lot of DeAndre Swift, and hopefully that is effective. And look, I think, what do we keep hearing? What is one of the number one stress things this year to Caleb Williams from this coaching staff? And the last coaching staff said it as well. You don't have to be a hero. Make the simple plays. Let your playmakers make plays. And I know that those yards get added to Caleb Williams's numbers, but I just think he's going to fall just short. I do think in his career he will have 4,000 with the Bears, but just short this year.
Okay, 14 players played 17 games last year. 6 of them threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
And look.
So only 6 players had 4,000 yards last year?
But when it came to the just short category, that's a pretty impressive group as well.
Yeah, and I'm putting Caleb Williams just short, so I don't think I'm too out of control by saying that. Or out of line.
Who remembered that Baker Mayfield had an even 4,500 yards on the nose?
Really?
Yeah.
In that trash division, he should.
Caleb Williams is throwing for over 4,000 yards. If he's not, that's a disappointment, or Bajent took over. That's just what happens.
Like,
meaning he got hurt. Happened. Unless you're saying Bajent took over for other reasons.
I don't know.
Baby TZ.
Am I saying?
Gut feeling he is not going to hit 4,000 yards this year. Grody, we are so close. The first number that popped in my head, 3,830.
Wow.
3,830 passing yards for Caleb Williams.
Write it down.
Bro.
Write that down.
I agree with Grody's overall sentiment. I will say this. I expect him to be down late in some games and be chucking that thing.
But I do think it has a lot to do with what your run game is going to do. Like, for example, the guy who won the Super Bowl last year at QB only threw for 29-some-odd yards. So, 2,900-some-odd yards.
Saquon Barkley's not walking out of that tunnel.
Yeah, precisely. And you know, for example, Tua Tagovailoa, he had a 70% completion rate, but he only threw for 2,867.
Because he missed six games.
But 4,000 for Caleb Williams? Let's do it.
Second question, Bears related as well. In the NFC North, I added this question last minute, so good luck. What will the Bears' record be in the NFC North this year? Two games against the Vikings, Packers, and Lions each.
Okay, so I just looked at the schedule and went win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Now I've got to do more math. So while I tabulate, I turn the floor to somebody else.
3-3. 3-3 in the division. I've got them winning the game, obviously, Monday night. I've got them losing at Detroit. I've got them winning at Minnesota. I've got them losing at Green Bay. I've got them winning at home against the Packers, and I have them losing the season finale against the Lions.
Good God. I will go 3-3 as well. I'll be honest with you. I don't have the breakdown of which ones they're going to win.
They won all the home
games
on mine. They lost all the road games.
Yeah, I like that. But I do feel better about the division because you have a coach who comes from the division and has seen it and clearly is very confident about going up against the other coaches in the division, as we know with Matt LaFleur, and game planning against Kevin O'Connell, and he's done pretty good against him as well. So I'm not going to get carried away. I will say 3 wins against the division this year.
They are finishing 2-4 in the division, and I'm just going to say this on record because this is a time capsule. If the Bears beat the Detroit Lions, I will come into work in clown makeup or a dunce hat. I will do that. I will wear that because that's how confident they are going to be. The Bears are going 0-2 against the Lions this
year. The reason you're saying that is hilarious is because that last game, Detroit might not play its starters. You don't know that.
Then I put it on the line. Okay. That's what's happening. That's how confident I feel. Baby,
I have lipstick that I can do for you. Wait, good. I did the math. I mean, it's only 6 games. It's not like it took me forever.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
Are you ready, Layla?
Yeah.
Gut feeling, 2-4. They are going to get swept by the Detroit Lions.
The part of Layla is now being played by Tyler.
He did say baby T. He did say baby T.
Oh, he said, yeah, Robbie said baby T before you
my
said
bad.
That.
Communication breakdown.
Sorry. If we were all in the car together, we would fall off a cliff.
No, because I'd be behind the wheel. We'd probably run into another car.
Technically, I drive the show, actually.
Stop every hour to get gas and stretch because you don't want the car to get too overtaxed, too. That's what would happen.
Where would
we
all go if we all got in a car together?
Hell. 2-4. What's my mark?
That's why I'm driving.
2-4
for
the mark.
We're going to Topgolf.
2-4, unfortunately, because I think they beat the Vikings twice. But Micah Parsons really kind of changes the issue here in Green Bay, and I'm not happy about it.
Next question. We stick in the NFC North. Who wins the NFC North?
Detroit.
Plus one.
They're going to be healthy. They won't have a billion people on injured reserve like they did last year. The odds of that happening are astronomical, so Detroit.
Their players are all back. Aiden Hutchinson is healthy. I'm not as into the whole they don't have their offensive coordinator, they don't have their defensive coordinator, they don't have their running backs coach, and there's more. So I get there to be some adjustment to it, but if you can't find a way to make that talent work, then shame on you in Detroit. So it's still the Lions at the top of the division.
I would agree that it's the Lions at the top of the division. I'm going to go ahead and is it a clean sweep?
Yeah, it's a clean sweep right there.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to pick here.
Okay.
I mean, the Bears are going to be pretty good this year.
That's for me.
I'll go with the Lions. Yeah, the Lions are going to be good.
Okay, Robbie, you're dismissed.
13-4 for the Detroit Lions.
Go put your clown suit on. Go put it on.
Did we all say the Lions?
Lions sweep.
Put your shine box.
That Micah Parsons trade didn't do a whole lot. I kind of like it.
Get your
Get your what?
Get your shine box.
You got that?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Now go get my shine box. And it was on.
Next question. The last question before we go to our NFL questions. What is the Bears' overall record this year?
Yes. The Bears' overall record.
The Bears will win.
Again, unfortunately, okay, there were two pieces of information for me that we didn't have the last time we did this. Number one was Aaron Rodgers. Number two was Micah Parsons. Or as Jerry calls him, Michael. I wish it was some dude named Michael Parsons because now I've got them at 8-9.
What'd you have them at before?
I thought they could be a 10-win team. Whew. Could be. That could is, be.
I like how Grody's looking.
I got no problem with optimism.
All right, so that's cool. Yeah, 7-10. Yep. 7-10.
Okay.
And 7-10, I want to point out, I've got them being 2-2 heading into the bye week. And then the pivotal game for me is that Washington game. I'll be wrong if they win at Washington. But if they lose at Washington, 7-10.
I got the Bears at 8-9 this year, and my number one reason is because they play some of the best teams in the NFL twice this year.
Yeah.
Those teams in their backyard. They're also at Washington, at the Bengals, at the Ravens, at Philadelphia, at San Francisco. So 8-9.
That Ravens Bengals.
Yeah. You know what they're going to win one of those, I do believe.
Here's the problem is also, I feel like there are some, you know how in the tournament you have certain rules that you follow, like an 11-5 upset, for example, a 14-3. I feel the same about the NFL schedule in that every team is given to usually lose a game that they should win, even by your best prediction, and win a game that you thought they were going to lose. That's the problem. Like, what if you can figure out those two, then you're playing with house money.
What's the game you think they could win that they're supposed to lose?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, okay, this is my initial reaction after the information I had. That's what I had. But I know this is going to be wrong based on those things.
I like that at San Francisco. If things are going the way I think the offense
is
going,
that as a dub.
They've got a fighting chance in that game.
Will they cover George Kittle this year? That's the question. Don't
will
go
they
back.
Cover anyone?
Yeah, that was
George
whoa.
Kittle wasn't even healthy.
That was an education.
They weren't covering him.
They weren't covering anyone.
No, they weren't.
All right, Twitch has them at tying 6 games. That's good to know.
Oh, okay. That's good. My Chicago Bears are going to finish 8-9. I think after this year, we're going to be confident about the quarterback, confident about Ben Johnson.
That's what I'm going to overtake.
Yeah, my Chicago Bears.
And the Bears will take the North.
No. You can't do both.
Yeah,
I'm doing both.
You can't. No.
Watch me.
No.
Watch. Baby T.
Baby T's Chicago Bears are going 9-8 and missing the playoffs by one game.
The meatball's out.
What's
but he did say they're missing the playoffs.
By one game. One full game.
That's like a half a meatball right there. That's a meatball without the sauce.
Guys, this Micah Parsons thing is a real buzzkill.
It's fine.
Buzz Killington?
It'll be fine in a couple of
for
years.
For who?
3 years, 4 years.
Wait, it's a buzzkill, so are you unhappy about it?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's a buzzkill for the schedule predicting segment.
Oh, right.
It had more like mystery.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Prestige.
Hackers.
All right, on to the next.
We have 3 more questions. Oh. We are done with the Bears question, unless you want to put the Bears in one of these questions. Bears.
No.
Next question. Who wins the NFC and goes and represents the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Can I tell you something? So again, I'm like, the NFC is wide open. It's usually a team that you don't predict is going to win the NFC, is going to win it, but they made some noise in the playoffs the year before. Challenging, say, the Philadelphia Eagles in an excellent game.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
So I was like, oh, what makes me look kind of crazy? What's a risk I could take? The Rams.
Rams are a good pick.
So
Rams are right there.
That's what I went with. The Rams. But then Albert Breer had the same thing, and now I feel like a cheater.
Breerzy?
I don't think the Eagles are going back. So I looked around, and I thought, is anybody from the NFC North going to the Super Bowl? I was like, no. Is anybody from the NFC South going? I couldn't even get that out with a straight face. My bad. So I went over to the NFC West. I started squinting real hard. And what I came up with was the Rams. Because, like, that's a team. The coach, the quarterback, if he's healthy, they're good.
Okay. I am going. Are we doing both NFC and AFC?
I think like it's just Super Bowl NFC matchup? Right now.
Oh, just NFC. Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to ruin it. I am going with the Eagles. I do believe, like, there's just too much talent in that organization. We all saw, I mean, that was dominant what they put on. I get it. Like, it's tough to get back in. It's tough to repeat all of that stuff. But I cannot deny the Eagles, who will be 1-0 after tonight.
My brain says Eagles. My heart says Lions. But because I want to seem so smart in this time capsule, give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that offense is going to be electric this year.
Interesting.
You should have laughed.
I like the pick. I do.
I do not.
I'm not saying it because Marshall, shocker, I disagree with you, and Robbie, I've been agreeing with you all day. My bold prediction this year, Baker Mayfield, MVP, Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Super Bowl.
Wow, look at that.
Baker is the MVP.
They're in passing yards last year. They got some weapons on offense.
I mean, I'm aware. It's just, here we were all talking about Joe Burrow probably getting it retroactively for last year, you know?
Mid-season resurgence.
Two-minute drill here. Who wins the AFC quickly?
Bills.
The aforementioned Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Baltimore.
Give me the Chiefs.
Buffalo Bills.
And the last question we will have on fire, on file. Who wins the Super Bowl this year?
Bills.
Give me the Bengals.
Baltimore.
Wow, everyone's AFC because I'm going with the Chiefs again. Travis Kelce runs into the sunset.
They've got all the quarterbacks. They've got all the quarterbacks.
For me, the formula in the AFC is this. Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. You're going to get tired of me saying it all the time, but tell me when it's wrong.
Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills.
And that right there, time capsule. We'll find out in a couple months how wrong everyone is. Great job, everyone.
May I just say, too, that if you want more, because we have some slightly different questions Dan Weider and I do in the Take the North podcast. So if you download that right now, I'll just tell you the extra categories that we had. Breakout player, most disappointing player.
For is this the NFL or just the team?
No,
the
Bears. Just Bears.
Okay, just Bears. Bears, yeah, most disappointing.
I know. Can you believe Weider had that? I'm like, what are you doing to us? We got to walk in that locker room, man.
I like it. It's spicy.
That's going to be a battle.
Oh, it was very uncomfortable.
Very spicy.
Signature win is also one, and team MVP.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
so that's
take
your
the
north.
Tooney for MVP.
There was one of us who, well, I don't want to give it away. Now, there was one of us who did choose Joe Tooney as MVP. There's three. Studzinski joined us as well.
I think you just said who chose.
I guess I just did.
Yeah, you just kind of did it.
It's supposed to be a tease, Mark.
Well, you know, in a tease, you guys know this, being in television and whatnot, you give a little bit, little sound bite, little something for you to chew on.
Studs,
so,
was
yes,
the sacrificial lamb in the tease.
No.
His take gets thrown into the...
It's a bailout answer is what that is. I'm going to go with the multi-time Pro Bowl left tackle. Okay, Studs, really going out on a limb there. Safe choice, pal.
So, that said, let's give you another tease. Brett Coleman, he does great work with NFL Film Study. He is the creator of All 32, the co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast. He is coming up next with Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
I got the utmost confidence in Ben, and his coaching ability, his play calling, and all of that. So, you know, I think it comes down to being able to execute exactly what he puts out there for us as a team, as an offense. And you know, when things are, you know, throughout the week, when, you know, we're messing up and things like that, which are going to happen, we got to get back in the huddle, redo it, so that when it happens on game day, we go out there and execute exactly what he dishes out for us.
That, of course, is Caleb Williams. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. And we go out once again to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we are joined by Brett Coleman. He is at Brett Coleman, K-O-L-L-M-A-N-N on X, the creator of All 32 and co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast. He does a lot of great film breakdown for NFL Plus this season as well. Brett, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk a little Bears.
We are too with you. I think the first question we have is, we know that you've done a lot of film study on Ben Johnson's offense when he was with Detroit. So what are you looking forward to perhaps the most, or what are you looking for the most when it comes to what we could possibly see on Monday against the Vikings?
So I think we're going to see a very different version of this offense from September to December, because we are still very early on in the Caleb Williams development curve. And the thing that you need to understand about what Ben was able to do with Jared Goff last year, this was an offense in Detroit. Looking at my numbers right now, they were 32nd in pistol, they were 30th in shotgun, they were first in under center by a mile, 57.2% under center. That is very foreign for the modern NFL. And it's especially very foreign for young quarterbacks that are spending most of their time in college, either in the shotgun or in the pistol in some cases. And even for Jared Goff, you know, he is one of the quarterbacks that I point to the most for how the league has changed how they develop quarterbacks. If you go back to Goff's rookie year, in LA, he only had 39 under center snaps the entire year. Last year in Detroit, he led the league by a wide margin at 236 dropbacks from under center. So I would expect, even though Caleb, you know, had a fair share of under center last year, I would expect we're going to see even more this year. The real question is if he's going to be better at it. Because if you're looking at the main purpose why you line up under center as a quarterback, the main purpose is for play action. Play action is far more effective when you're under center compared to from the gun. The fake is harder. Linebackers have to bite more. You can do more run concepts from under center, which is why defenses have to respect them more, respect the run more from under center. So the more you do it, the better your run game is going to be, and the better your play action game is going to be.
Brett,
but if you're looking at Kate,
go ahead.
So if you're looking at under center play action specifically, last year Caleb was not that good. He was 28th in passer rating when doing that. He had the third highest average time to throw when doing it at 3.82 seconds. That is an eternity. The only other quarterbacks that were higher than him were also really young, in Jaden and Bryce Young. He left a lot of meat on the bone when he was doing it. So when Ben Johnson came in, and you know there was that famous quote of drink it through a fire hose and everything like that, the drink it through a fire hose part was him learning how to do this, because it's really the only way you're going to be able to beat Brian Flores is to do that. That's how Detroit did it. That's how LA's done it. That is the only way you're going to crack this pass defense, and specifically the types of blitzes they throw at you, is if you can do under center play action. If that is not on the table this week, which remains to be seen, there are going to be a lot of struggles. If they come out and he can do that, all of a sudden you could see Chicago starting the season 1-0 against a really, really good Vikings team.
Okay, that's a great explanation, Brett, specifically about the formations and the way that the quarterback has to function in Ben Johnson's offense. Looking at what Caleb's been able to do to this point in his career, and for good reason, we were told, like, don't worry about what you saw first year. He's not taking that with him. What's a reasonable expectation when you talk about this offense looking different from September to December?
A reasonable expectation is, ideally, better pass protection, mm-hmm. right? Just by nature of having better guys out there in terms of the offensive line. I would expect them to lean very heavy on the outside zone run game. Like, you think the Shanahan teams run outside zone a lot? Believe me, Ben Johnson did it even more. They were third in outside zone last year. They ran it over half the time, especially from under center. So you're going to see that a lot from DeAndre Swift. He's not as good as Jahmyr Gibbs, but also almost nobody is, but they're going to use him like Jahmyr Gibbs. And then Roshan, I imagine, is going to be the David Montgomery, right? Like, he's going to be the short yardage guy. And then, you know, maybe we'll see some Kyle Monanga as well in that role. And you're going to see boots, play action, work in the intermediate middle. And if Caleb can do that, if he could just dial down, or rather dial up his processing speed a little bit and be able to work that area of the field, I would imagine this offense is going to look very, very similar to what we saw in Detroit, because their weapons overall are very similar. Their offensive line is much improved. Like, I could see this being a top 10 offense in the NFL, but it all comes down to, can Caleb execute that particular part of this offense in that particular alignment at least 80% as well as Goff did last year?
You know, one of the things too, Brett, that came up yesterday out at Hallis Hall, you know, Ben Johnson was asked about it and Caleb Williams was asked about it, and that is cadence and how important that is to this offense. Why is it so important to this offense?
Ooh, that's a good question. So there's two different ways that quarterbacks can get defenses to show them what they're in. You can either use cadence or you can use motion. This was not a very motion-heavy offense, at least under Ben Johnson last year. And that's because, again, when you have the quarterback turn his back to the defense to execute a hard play action fake, you really don't want motion to clog up that picture even more, because safeties and corners and linebackers are going to respond to motion. You want it to be as static as possible, so that when you turn your back and you execute that fake and then you flip your eyes back again, they're in a reasonable spot that you can expect, right? So you want it to keep it static. Last year, their motion rates were, you know, bottom five in the NFL in Detroit. It's not that they didn't use it ever. It's just they didn't want it to clash with what they were doing play action wise. And the other way you can do it is, if you're not using motion to get the defense to show you what they're in, use cadence, use hard counts. They had a really nifty fake silent count that I saw in the Vikings game last year. Not to get too technical with it, but they essentially had Goff initiate a fake silent count when they were on the road in Minnesota, and then you had the guard poke the center, and the center did like a fake head raise and lower, and like they got him to jump into what they were in. Goff changed the call. They were showing zero, and then they hit a touchdown to Amon-Ra. So like the way that you can not just use cadence, but also use silent counts and fake cadences and fake silent counts, like that's how you make up for not having motion in the offense to still give the quarterback a clear picture. It's really high level stuff. It is hard for young quarterbacks to do. I don't think he's going to be as good at it as Goff was, but also Goff's been in the league forever. Yeah. Again, if he could just be 80% of that in that area, this offense could be really good.
We are talking to Brett Coleman, the creator of All 32, co-host of the Bootleg Football Podcast here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. And Brett, I want to go back to what you said about the outside zone concept. We saw a lot of that in the past two offensive coordinators with the Bears. You know, remnants of that offense after Shane Waldron was fired, still kind of a similar idea. And I'm kind of surprised to hear that because the place where the Bears improved the most was in the middle of that offensive line. So that would indicate to me perhaps more running up the middle. What is your indication that that won't be the case based on what you told us?
So when I look at interior offensive line play and how that kind of dictates what type of runs you're going to be good at, it's not necessarily about just pure talent. It's about size and skill set. And so if you're looking at offenses that really run in between the tackles with like downhill run schemes like the Rams, if you're looking at obviously Baltimore, like they got guys that are 330, 340, you know, the Eagles 360 in some cases, and they really get downhill. Whereas outside zone teams, it's not that they don't prioritize interior offensive linemen. It's more so they just look for different skill sets. And it's more so about, do you have a quick first step? Do you execute your combo blocks with fluidity and precision and grace so that you can execute that as quickly as possible and then get to the second level? People don't realize this, but the most important position when it comes to outside zone, other than the running back, is the center. Because the center is going to be responsible for the hardest blocks, right? He's got to handle a nose tackle. He's going to have to sometimes reach a G technique or a three technique all by himself. He's going to be getting up on the second level and handing linebackers in space. Like Frank Ragnow was such a key piece for that Lions offense because they could run their outside zone scheme through him. And you see Chicago, you know, bringing in Dolman. Guess who ran outside zone even more than Detroit did? Atlanta. He's very familiar with this kind of scheme. So you can't really have this type of run game without a good center. That's why they prioritize the position. I would imagine that even though, yes, they replaced a lot of their interior guys, they replaced them to run this specific style of run better than what Chicago was able to do it last year.
This is Brett Coleman. We thank you so much for joining us here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. If people want to get more of what your film study is all about, because I think you do great work, what's the best place to do it? I know you've got your podcast and on YouTube as well. Where can they find you?
You can find me, a variety of places. I also do work with the Chargers. I do work on the NFL's YouTube channel, NFL Plus, my own personal channel, Brett Coleman, the Bootleg Football Podcast, which I do with fellow Bears fan EJ Snyder, who also runs his own Bears podcast called Bear Era. So we talk more Bears than maybe most other national shows do. But I'm all over this season, and I'm ideally going to be talking even more Bears.
We love that. Yeah, I've seen your work on YouTube a time or two, but I just didn't know if there was a particular account you wanted to push there.
Yeah, man, people are going to be sick of me by the time we get to January. I'll tell you what, like I'm going to be in a lot of places.
Not if you're giving as much information as you just gave us. They will not be sick of you. They will be breathing in it like a fire hose. They're going to take it everything they could take.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I got a Bears-Vikings video coming out this week where I break down all of Flores' blitz structures and how Johnson attacks it. So if you want even more, I got that coming soon.
We will keep an eye out for that for sure. I have a feeling we will be looking at that over the weekend. Brett Coleman, thank you so much. And at some point, I also hope you get to enjoy your Twitch background there. That's pretty cool, too.
Thanks, Brett.
I'm gonna pour a little bit tonight. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That was Brett Coleman. I do think he does great work. Shout out to Robbie for booking him because that's a lot of fun. Coming up next, we got to figure out what these kids are doing down the hallway here, don't we? Yeah. It's not time for transition, but I think it's time to be nosy.
But before we do that, let's give away some stuff.
Oh,
good with that?
Let's. Oh yeah.
This guy Marshall just like giving stuff away left and right today.
It's not
Marshall,
my stuff.
Marshall
I
wants
clear.
To thank oh. you for listening.
Yes, yeah. That is absolutely the case. If you're the sixth caller right now, 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to the first ever Oktoberfest with the Cubs, which is coming to Wrigleyville September 19th through the 21st in the Toyota Camry lot on Gray Street. Enjoy authentic food, beer, tents, live music, carnival rides, even a ceremonial keg tap. Tickets are on sale now starting at just $15. Children 10 and under, they are free. Head to Cubs.com/Oktoberfest for details. Again, call number 6-312-540-0670 right now.
We have more with Rahimi and Harris and Mark Grody on The Score.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to make a statement. Robbie Triano, our producer.
I'm marking the sound. Statement from Chuck.
Yes. I want you to save this tape. Are you working next week, midnight to 5?
I don't, but I will mark this down for the person who's there because I want this on record. This is important stuff.
If the Bears lose to the Colts, I am going to buy donuts for the entire radio station.
Oh, go Colts. Go Colts. I
Absolutely
want some donuts.
Not. I will never go against a Chicago team.
What a roller coaster that was. That was Chuck Swirsky, of course, our voice of the Bulls here on 670 The Score. This is your friendly reminder on the Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody that the Bulls season is coming up. It's not just the NFL season. We got Bulls games in a month.
But also, Chuck Swirsky, I don't know if I know a public figure that is more of a meatball than that young man.
It's not Chuck, guys. I don't know why you guys keep saying
okay,
Chuck.
Joey Bag of Donuts. Well, clearly he was Bag of Donuts that day because the Colts, let me tell you something. As I said on this very station in this chair, we're going to beat the Bears. What happened?
Ooh, snap. I'll tell you what happened. Speed option on fourth and goal that I'm still bitter about. Oh, my word.
People also wanted to know if Chuck actually brought the donuts. He did. He brought a case of a Krispy Kremes.
He's a man of his word.
Here's your damn donuts, Robbie.
And on that note.
On that note.
I would like to present the first ever episode of Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody, Reader's Theater. Mark Grody will play the part of Chuck Swirsky.
Chuck Swirsky.
And then Marshall Harris will play the part of special reply guest.
My goodness.
This is in relation to a prediction that we didn't get to from Chuck in our 1 o'clock segment earlier today.
Do Honestly. Not put this prediction in the hall, by the way.
Put him in the hall. But anyway, Chuck is this is I got to be clear, and it's Joe Bag of Donuts. Chuck Swirsky will be back when bowl season
he
is here.
He needs a separate account for Joey Bag of
he
Donuts.
Does.
To be fair, I worked with Chuck Swirsky on Sky broadcasts. You know those games I actually watched, and that's why I talked about.
Yeah,
them.
That you actually watched
in an informed
and,
manner,
right?
Interesting.
And the smartest person in the building, the way I hear it, when I listen to you doing those.
Let's
things.
Not go that far.
I think you are. It was like I was learning from you, Layla. But anyway, I'm actually just going to read this as me right now, just because I want people to hear it and make it clear. But predictions for the Bears. This is from Joe Bag of Donuts.
Joey Bag of Donuts, as played by Mark Grody.
Chuck Swear. Okay, I will. Predictions for the Bears season. The Bears will win 11 games. They will. See, this is why.
What will the Bears do again, Chuck?
The Bears will win 11 games and win at least one playoff game. Caleb Williams becomes the Bears' first 4,000-yard passer. Ryan Poles named NFL Executive of the Year. Ben Johnson, NFL Coach of the Year. Bears, Bears make major trade and deadline on defense. And then he writes, save. I guarantee it. I'm not kidding. I'm serious.
That's the problem.
So wait a second.
That's a slam dunk.
11 wins. Ben Johnson's the coach of the year.
Oh, don't forget the best part. Ryan Poles, executive of the year.
So it's basically 2018 all over again.
It's a sweep. 11. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that it's only 11 wins. Come on, Chuck.
And a playoff game?
And a playoff game.
Or did you say possibly?
13 wins.
There was no possibility to this.
Put him in the hole.
He really is very passionate about Chicago sports. He really is.
Chuck's one of the. He's a goat, man.
He's been, a ray of sunshine.
He's been doing this a whole hell of a lot longer than all of us.
Amen.
Let
to
me
that.
Tell you that right
and,
now,
and
man.
He really is. If you want to know, like, oh, is this a persona? No, he really is a ray of sunshine.
No, he
like,
is.
He really is that like bright and sunshiny.
And he's one of the first people in town to do sports talk radio, and he used to do updates on WGN when it was cool to do that. So he's awesome, man. Chuck's the best.
But also there's more because
and now,
of course,
and now played by the part of Marshall Harris is the reply.
There were a lot of replies, to be clear. There were a lot of replies, there were a lot of quote tweets. There's a lot of interaction and engagement with this particular tweet. But this comes from a friend of the show, Joe Cowley, noted Bulls beat reporter and also Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Stillers.
He responds to Chuck's tweet that ended, of course, in the one word after the period, save, with saved. Like all the other dumb Bears commentary you promised and came up very short on. I'm like, wow, Joe, you really didn't hold back there, did you, about how you feel about those predictions?
Joe's got a little, he's got a little grobber in him. Like he's like takes it very seriously.
It's one thing when like we're posting something and some reply guy's like and you're like, whatever, Joey Bag of Numbers, like random, you know, like
Joey Bag of Numbers,
like
that.
Fake avatar because you don't want to put your face on anything.
Egg avatar, yeah.
Yeah, it's a different interaction. But when you can read them in each of the voices, that's when it gets taken up a notch.
And they are friends, I think, unless there's been a falling out. I've heard Chuck
and
Joe.
No, they see each other all the time.
Yeah, I've heard them on the radio together, like on Bulls broadcasts and whatnot, so they're good.
Wait, should we save this? Should we write this down as a team? And then at the end of the season, we have point counterpoint with Joe Cowley.
Well, I have a question for you,
Chuck.
Layla. How does it feel to be aligned with Joey Bag of Donuts or Chuck Swirsky, whoever you want to credit this to, on one of those predictions? How do you feel about being aligned with him?
Mm. Which one?
Because I'm thinking about it.
On
read them.
On which am I aligned?
I'm serious.
Read the lines.
I'm still frustrated about the pop-up blocking 11, my sock stat.
You stop me when I say the one that you're aligned with. 11 games,
no.
1.
11.
1 playoff game, 1. Caleb Williams becomes the Bears' first 4,000-yard passer.
Ding.
Does that make you rethink it a little bit?
No, it does not. You know why? I'm a child of the spread offense.
Seriously?
And you know what the spread offense did? It passed the ball a lot. And I still like it. Okay. I still believe in my belief.
I will stand with you. I'll stand tall with you on this hill.
I don't think it's 4,000
yards. No, I told you how many yards. It's less than 240 yards a game.
By the way, do you guys know who's hosting Bears post game?
Oh, it's Chuck. Or is it Joey Bag of Donuts?
Did you mention that already? Maybe you did.
We did not, and I feel like it's a good programming note for the people.
Right at this very moment, yes. Bears, Vikings on Monday Night Football, and Chuck Swirsky, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley will be doing the post-game show. So I'm saying, man, Chuck knows what's up.
Baby T, are you a part of it? Are you doing the late night phone calls again?
I'm doing the overnight show for Bears Vikings week 1.
Do we know who's hosting the overnight show?
Gabe Ramirez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Gabe. The creator of the nickname Baby T, by the way.
That's right.
I will be definitely on with Gabe Ramirez on Monday night sharing my thoughts.
Really? You're going to call Gabe?
Absolutely.
You love to needle Gabe. You go after Gabe.
No, listen. So this all goes back to when I was working at CBS WBBM. I would get off work, and of course, I turn on the, you know, it's 11 something at night, and I turn on the car, and the radio's on 670 The Score, and it's Gabe, and I'd be like, let me call this man. And I would call him, and on my drive home, which isn't even a long drive home, like 10 minutes, we would talk football. And that's how that originated. And he welcomed my calls.
Man, Gabe is a man for all seasons. He can do anything. So poor Tyler is going to have to be the phone answerer again for hopefully some non-angry phone calls.
Well,
yeah.
What if they win? I mean, you're not going to feel bad for me if they win, right?
I still feel bad for what happened the last time.
Oh, that's true.
People were just yelling at you.
It was a beatdown, Layla. It was an ugly game.
And you were so nice about it. You're like, I'm sorry you feel that
way. Which game was this?
Bears-Vikings late in the year, 30-12.
Tamagotchi game.
That's a better representation of it.
Are we? Is that the official name of that game? The Omagaji game?
More like the Oh My Gaji game.
Oh, see how I do? Like that.
Yeah. That was a David Hall moment right there.
No, that was a grobber because grobber would do that. So, I'll give it the Hall moment. Is this Hall?
Maybe we'll have an Omagaji game this year. Did we land on that?
Oh yeah, we're trying to figure out how to combine Karan Amagaji and Ozzy Trapillo's names.
Just say Zapillo. I don't think we need to overcomplicate it.
Who's that layman out there? He go to one of those schools up north, Yale, Boston, Yale, Zapillo.
Remember that one time Chris Emma tried to correct us on the pronunciation of Zapillo? He said, "Guys, it's Zapillo."
Okay, he's just so pleasant sounding, and he's "Well, actually."
Chris is the goods, man. He's my partner out at Hallis Hall, man. We sit right next to each other.
It's a pillow.
And he hasn't been involved in any fights, right?
Emma?
Yeah, because, you know, people weren't
fight. Jason Leisure. Well, Leisure is on the other side, sort of. So we try to keep those guys apart. Emma and Leisure, they do not get along, but that's a whole other story.
I want to hear it later.
Yeah, it's weird because I like both of those guys.
Are we going to do a transition segment with Spiegel?
Yeah, what up with all that?
We are?
Oh, sick.
Oh, let's do it next.
It's a pillow.